Hey everybody, it's Carol Tice, the Den Mother here, and welcome to our weekly Freelance Writers Den meeting. The Den is the learning and support community for writers looking to grow their earnings fast. And I know we have a bunch of new people who may be on this call, maybe on their very first Den meeting today, because they're joining this morning. We just reopened to new members. So if that's you, hey, welcome, and we're thrilled to have you. I am excited to be doing this theme today. We are doing a marketing intensive, so we're here to get you off your butt and taking action with some practical ideas for how to get focused and do marketing that gets results. And I have a couple of great guests. My first guest is Mark Satterfield. He's the founder and CEO of Gentle Rain Marketing and the author of The 1 Week Marketing Plan, the Set It and Forget It approach for quickly growing your business. That just sounds super appealing, honestly. I think that's so right up the alley of the freelance writers who belong to the Den. And coming up next and hanging out and listening in, because he's a fan of Mark Satterfield's stuff too, is David Newman. He's a marketing speaker, strategist, and author of Do It Marketing, 77 Instant Action Ideas to Boost Sales, Maximize Profits, and Crush Your Competition. So I am excited to just glean some tips from both of these men. And David, I have you muted out for now, in case you're wondering. Mark has more than 2 decades of experience helping clients in more than 75 niche industries grow their businesses without cold calling or hard selling. And in the 1 week marketing plan, he's sharing strategies and wisdom that is accessible and realistic for self-employed professionals looking to move in a new direction. So thanks for coming on, Mark.
Thank you, Carol.
I'm excited to have you here. And before we dive in, I just want to say one more time that we did have some technical problems getting chat to work, and I got Instant Teleseminar to hit the reset button on our chat feature, and it is working now. If you can't see chat when you click to that tab, restart your browser or refresh or come back on, and you should be able to get chat working. And if it bombs on us, we'll switch to Q&A. But for now, feel free to chat it up. I like members to be able to see each other in chat and get to know each other a little. So let's get started thinking marketing. And Mark, you know, the headline of this 1 week marketing plan, Set It and Forget It, it all sounds so simple and easy and wonderful. So what can we do in 5 days flat to make our marketing work better? What is the starting point for accomplishing this?
You know, I mean, the challenge winds up being, and I was guilty of this as much as anybody, is that we have these dreams of more consistent streams of new clients, and we know that marketing is the way to get it, but we just get overloaded and we get overwhelmed because we hear so much about, websites and blogging and tweeting and Facebooking and, my God, all this stuff. And so we just get overwhelmed. And what I set out to do with the 1 week marketing plan, and the feedback I've gotten is that, we've largely achieved this, is to say, okay, look, let's distill a marketing system down to 5 core elements. And let's take each of those elements in sequence and work on each one for 1 day, and wrote the book with lots of templates and very much step-by-step instructions so that at the end of 5 days, you will actually have a very effective marketing system up and running, doing what it's supposed to be doing for you.
And so when you say marketing system, that almost makes me, it almost sounds like things running on autopilot or something. I mean, for a solopreneur, freelance type person, what would be an example of a marketing system that they might put in place?
Well, the marketing system has, as I say, 5 steps to it. Number one is figuring out who it is that you want as clients. So if we're a reader, or I'm sorry, if we're a writer, who is it that we're writing for? Are we writing for business publications? Are we writing for technical journals? Are we writing for scientific journals? What market do we want to focus on? Because marketing is very powerful. and we are going to get the kind of client that we go after. So the more that we can identify very specifically who that prospective client is in our mind, then we're going to be able to create marketing materials that resonate with that individual. The next step is to create something that you're going to give away for free, because the whole idea of marketing is not just to go around and say, hey, you know, you need any writing work done, you want to hire me. You know, I mean, if you say that enough to enough people, I suppose you'll get some business, but that's not really what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is we're trying to build relationships with people who will hire you, people who will refer you to others, and the best way to do this is to offer something for free. So writers are in the communication business, and whatever niche that you're focusing on, they obviously have a problem, and there's a problem that somehow stems to communication. And if you were focusing on, let's say, writing employee newsletters, you could create something for free about the importance of communicating the company's strategy down to the rank and file, and how strategy very often doesn't actually get implemented effectively because the communication goes awry. And one of the best tools for communicating effectively is through an employee newsletter. And so you create this free offer, you know, 7 great tips for communicating effectively with your employees, and you offer that for free. This is the hook. This starts the relationship process. This is what people opt in to get.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like how you defined that, because, you know, you may know that there are so many opportunities for writers to write for free these days, but most of them don't go anywhere. You're just giving it away, and it doesn't lead to anything. It's not, you know, it's not targeting the right kind of prospect. It's not attracting anybody. You know, I'm talking about, you know, writing for Examiner or writing, you know, there's a million opportunities to do free guest posts and, you know, on different people's blogs. And if it's a really big visibility blog, you know, maybe doing that once in a while helps you. But so many of these, you know, write for exposure offers are just useless. So instead,
I agree.
Create a targeted product that helps your target customer get some and gets you their email.
Right. I mean, we all are paid money because we solve a problem. And what we need to be doing as writers is to think about, given our niche market, given the people that we write for, what problem are we solving? And you want to write a piece around that. And that's what you offer for free, because that gets people to engage. And that gets people to say, hey, here's someone who understands the problems I'm facing. And here's somebody who can help me solve that problem. Now, writing is the medium. But by offering this for free, we now get people to opt in. And then if you send them additional messages, an initial series which explains about your expertise, about the type of writing that you do, talks about other places that you've been published, now this builds that trust, that builds that credibility. And now what we are doing is we're building a relationship with this person. And these emails are all sent out automatically. We can then create a very simple one-page website. And I know there's a little bit of technology to this, but keep in mind that I'm somebody who can barely spell HTML. So if I can do this, anybody can do it. And the wonderful thing about this is that there's so many already done-for-you templates out there and websites, so that it's very easy to tap into that. And if you create that website that offers this free offer, which then you send out these follow-up messages, then it's just simply a matter of promoting it, promoting your services to that target audience where they are. And you can do a lot of different ways to promote it. Probably the most easiest or effective is by doing a very small, very inexpensive advertising campaign on Facebook or LinkedIn or AdWords, or in some cases even doing posts on social media that drive people back to your website, that get them to engage with you, can be very effective.
I've kind of become a fan of the Facebook ads myself. It's like you can spend $5 on a Facebook ad that goes to only exactly the people you want. It's kind of an amazing thing.
I know. You can just micro-target these ads so that only the people you want to do business with ever see the ads. And the cost per click is, you know, ridiculously small. And as you say, I mean, a $5 budget, you know, can really start to generate some traffic. And if you've, you know, got a good offer and then you have a nice follow-up sequence, you know, this very quickly translates into actual tangible business.
Right on. So that was step two, right, the free thing.
Yeah, creating the free offer. And then on day three, what I show people to do is how to create the website to promote the free offer. And, you know, as I mentioned, there are, you know, lots of resources, lots of tools that make us non-techies very comfortable with doing this. Doesn't cost a lot of money. Matter of fact, we priced out the whole one-week marketing plan. You can do this whole thing for under $300. So there's absolutely no reason why anybody can't have a very effective marketing system. Then on day four, we create the drip marketing sequence. This is the ongoing messages that people get after they've opted in for the free thing. This is where you tell them a bit about your background, tell them about your story, tell them about other kinds of articles that you've written. You're building credibility. You're staying in touch. You're maintaining your visibility. And then day five, we drive the traffic to the website by promoting that free offer. And as we were talking about just a moment ago, using Facebook advertising as a very inexpensive way to drive traffic is just, you know, just a super great place to start.
Yeah, and I think some people freak out when you start saying that, spend money to market your business. But, you know, that's what all the successful folks do. I was just actually in one of Amy Porterfield's trainings about, and she was like, get serious and spend $50 a day on Facebook ads on your business. And if that makes you freak out, I'm just telling you, that's how you get customers, you know. I think a lot of people think of freelance writing as it's a zero-cost business. But the fact is, if you invest money in it, you can ramp it a lot faster.
Well, the key is whether you're thinking about it as a business or not. I mean, if you're just going to be a freelance writer and you're going to do a little bit of freelance writing and you've got, you know, very, very modest income goals, you know, you could probably get by just kind of doing word of mouth. But if you're going to say, this is my business, this is my passion, this is how I'm going to earn my money, this is going to how I'm going to feed myself and feed my family, then you got to get serious about it. And it's a business. And any business, you're going to have to invest money to get clients. The idea that getting clients should be free, you have to get over that mindset. That's the mindset of the dabbler. That's not the mindset of the business person. Now, I'm not saying, you know, being a dabbler is bad, but if the dabbler says, oh, gee, I just don't have a business, well, yeah, of course you don't have a business because you're not approaching it as a real business person. But, you know, if you do this, then you know, you can get lots of writing assignments if you choose. Those writing assignments have, you know, can lead to other things. I mean, I'm a classic example. I started off, I wrote a syndicated newspaper column. I wrote for the Wall Street Journal. I mean, there are a gazillion real number of marketing consultants out there, and we're now
number a gazillion.
A gazillion. We counted them up, and by God, we got to a gazillion. And you know, I mean, there's lots and lots of guys like me, and you know, and a lot of them are really, really good. You know, we've been around for 22 years, and you know, why did Gentle Rain Marketing succeed and others kind of fall by the wayside? Well, I think there's a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is that I used writing as one of the real powerful tools for differentiating myself. You know, I started, you know, did the columns, you know, did freelance work, and then that translated into books. You know, the 1 week marketing plan, that's the 8th book. So, you know, writing can open doors to all sorts of other things aside from just being a full-time freelance writer. But if you market your services, then, you know, you're going to be the one that your clients really come back to you time and time again. You're going to be the one that they're going to pay the top fees to. So rather than being the person that is just scraping by, rather than being the person who's trying to compete on price, you're the person who's recognized as being one of the top freelance writers in, you know, medical journals or in industrial magazines or human resources or newsletters or whatever your area of specialty is. And that's what marketing gets you. So it's it's really a win-win. And the reason I wrote the book, and as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about this, is that I just see so many businesses that struggle and so many businesses that, you know, go out of business. And it's not because, you know, they don't it's not because they don't have great, you know, capabilities. It's not that their writing skills are poor. It's just they don't have enough clients. And if you distill it down and if you do what the one-week marketing plan shows you how to do, I mean, you could have this very effective marketing system just 5 days. You know? And that's not a bad return on investment.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I think, though, it's a little harder to create a free product if you want to write for publications, for magazines and stuff. I feel like that works great for the, you know, I want to write for businesses, I want to be a copywriter model. I'm not sure how it works so much for editorial. I feel like it's more outbound and sending queries and, you know, putting together great article samples and, you know, that the free writing you do is doing articles the best place you can, even if it's unpaid, so that you have the samples to show the editor.
Sure. Sure.
No, but
here's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
What's the voice of your publication? When people come to read your publication, not only are they looking for great content, but they're looking for a voice. There needs to be a consistency that your readers recognize when they read an article, whether it be a column about this, a column about that, a column about the other thing. At Carol Freelance Writing, what we specialize in is writing in the voice of your publication. How do we do that? Well, there's five key elements that go into creating the right voice. Let me share those with you. Okay, I'm just making this up off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. I actually did a blog post for Copyblogger about this exact thing, about how you nail the voice of a publication.
And that would make a great free giveaway. All you do
right.
is take that blog post, put it into a PDF, put a couple graphics on the thing. Now you've got a great giveaway you could offer on your site for any kind of editor could go in, because that's mm-hmm. a universal issue for any editor. Is
mm-hmm.
okay, this is great, but you know, we've got a certain voice here at whatever publication. Now, can the person understand that voice? Can they write in that style?
Yeah, I agree. And so you say that, you know, you're not big into the hard selling, cold calling, and so it sounds like what replaces that is your system of, you know, free offer, attracting people, and then feeding them useful content on autoresponders, sort of that sort of thing.
Well, I had to do it out of necessity
mm-hmm.
because I'm just like this totally crappy salesperson. I mean, you know, I mean, I hear all these objections and I go, well, okay, that seems reasonable. So, you know, I'm just not a good salesperson, and I just don't have the personality to convince anybody to do business with me. So,
and like
me,
you know, you came out of journalism, and I feel like, you know, we were not trained to sell things to people. It's sort of not a natural instinct we have.
Well, right. I mean, it's the idea of marketing. And when what we do professionally is we design what we call intelligent marketing systems. And basically that is, okay, look, someone opts in for our free thing. We want them to eventually hire us. Now, we know that there's certain objections that people have, certain concerns that they have about hiring us. So let's address those in the drip marketing sequence. so that by the time they go through the drip marketing sequence, they feel like they know us. All the concerns, all the objections have really been dealt with. And if you feed enough people in at the top of the funnel, people who sort their way through, the people who actually call you, I mean, they're positively predisposed to do business with you. You know, they're not, you know, they're not giving you those, you know, questions of, well, you know, why should I work with you? Well,
right,
you know,
right.
What makes you so different? You know, how much do you charge? They already know. You know, they're already intrigued. You know, they've gone through all of that. So that's the idea of the funnel. And if you set it up right, you're going to, at the end of the funnel, you're going to get people who, when they call you, they go, you know, I've been getting your stuff. You know, and I really like your writing style. You know, I think you're the kind of person to do well at our publication. I mean, it's those kinds of conversations. And then you're having a conversation about, you know, what are you trying to do with this article? What's your objective? You know, let me bounce some ideas off of you to see if I'm, you know, if I'm close to where you want to be. You're having that, what they call the consultative sale.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than let me tell you the five reasons why I'm different than other writers. I mean, I can never do that. I don't like doing that. Nobody likes to do that.
No.
So we let
the
marketing do that for us.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of sort of getting to know you, I saw, looking through your book materials, that video marketing is one of the things that you're high on, which I feel like we're sort of written word people. And I'm just wondering if you have a couple of quick tips on what a writer might do with video that might help them with their marketing.
Well, you know, video is an option. And we, you know, the book is broken into two parts. You know, the second part is kind of, you know, supplemental, you know, maybe even advanced strategies, and video falls in that. But, you know, you can have a very effective marketing system without video. But here's the reason I like it, which is that, you know, have you ever gone to a presentation and you see somebody, you know, delivers the, you know, the presentation? You know, odds are if they do a good job, you're really positively predisposed to this person. You like them, yeah? And the cool thing about video, it's not quite as good as seeing somebody live, but it's a close second. It enables them to see you and get to know you. And, you know, writing skills are important, but gosh, you know, there's a lot of good writers out there. You know, there's a lot of people who know how to turn a phrase. So how do we differentiate ourselves? Well, one of the ways we can differentiate ourselves is by becoming somebody that people like. And the easiest and quickest way to get people to like us is by doing short videos. So at least for me and for a lot of my clients, using these short videos to introduce blog posts, to talk about, instead of just having the text email, having a short video, it works real well. Now, there's a caveat to this, which is that you have to be comfortable. You know, if you try to become, I'm video person, I mean, you know, that just messes it all up. But if you can come across as just a real person, you'll find that this accelerates the relationship building process. And it's all about relationships. You know, it's not just technical skills. You know, yeah, you got to be a good writer. Yeah, you got to be a good wordsmith. But there's lots and lots of people who are good writers and good wordsmiths. There's lots and lots of people who are good marketers. So why do you do business with me? Why do we do business with you? Well, we do it because we like you.
I think people underestimate how much that sort of personal level rapport matters. Now people just are sort of like, I just like working with you. You're fun. You know, you're enjoyable. You're easygoing. You're not a prima donna. I think it's amazing how far that can get you. So just even putting a little welcome video on your site where people can just kind of see you, get a sense of your personality.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you a true story, as opposed to all this other stuff I've been making up. But I was doing, I do a video once a week, and I'm pretty comfortable in front of the camera. And I was doing this about a year or so ago, and I was doing it on a couch. And for some reason, this time, I could not get two sentences out of my mouth without just, like, you know, messing the whole thing up. So, you know, take one, two, three. Finally got to take seven, and I finally got what I was trying to say out of my mouth. Well, unbeknownst to me, my cat Sam had walked across the top of the couch, stopped, looked at the camera, yawned, and then walked off. And, you know, and I'm editing this thing in iMovie, and I see this, and I'm going, oh, poo. You know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, you know, I'm this big-time marketer. You know, I work with lots of prestigious companies. Maybe I ought to redo this thing. But then, you know, I got lazy, and instead I just put in a little card in the middle of the video right after Sam did her thing, said, well, that wasn't very professional, was it? And then, you know, then it went back to me talking about whatever I was talking about. And I sent out the video. Well, normally, I mean, I don't get a lot. Normally I'll get maybe like 30, 35 emails to a video I send out. This time I got 300 emails, and they were all positive.
Right, because it was funny and humanizing. It's
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
And this is what works on social media too, just kind of being real, talking about your life. You know, people love that.
You know, you raise a great point. And, you know, I mean, there's a fine line. You know, we don't want it to turn into a, you know, lifetime movie. But,
right,
you know, the more that you let people into your life, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the more that you share with them, you know, the stuff that's going on in your life, it gets them connected with you. And that's all, you know, and that is so, so powerful in terms of ultimately turning into real business. So, you know, I mean, people have been on my list for a while. I mean, they know about my wife, Marion, who's got this really cool job. She's a hypnotherapist, which is, you know, kind of like this awesome, fun thing. They know about my lousy golf game. They know about my cats, obviously. And, you know, it's a balance. And you have to do what's true to you, of course. But the more you do that, it enables people to connect with you. And they say, yeah, you know, this is somebody who's, you know, who's fun. I can see myself working with them. That, you know, that would be enjoyable. And mm-hmm. anybody can do that. And that's, you know, so I that's ultimately what I think the power of video is all about.
Well, I just have time for sort of one quick question, and it was something I was going to ask you about anyway. We had gotten a question in the den about social media and blogging. And I gather you do talk about that as a way to promote your services. But my experience is that most people are kind of doing it wrong. What they're doing with blogging and social media isn't going anywhere in terms of really marketing them effectively. So I don't know if you have a quick tip on that.
Well, what I agree with you. Most blogging and social media just kind of like seems to go into this black hole out there, and, you know, just doesn't have any – it doesn't have any, you know, tangible result. But here's a tip, and this works really well, which is you create a blog page, right? And on your blog page, in the middle, of course, is your blog post. But around the border is the promotion for your free report and perhaps, you know, other free stuff that you might want to give away, other inducements to get people to connect with you, to opt into your list. Because the trick with social media is to get them off of social media and onto your website and onto your list. That's because then once we get them on our list, then they're a part of our community, then they're going to turn into clients. So in social media, what you're doing is you're promoting kind of simple hooks for your blog posts with a link that takes them to the page. They go to the page, and they read the blog post, and they say, hey, you know, this is kind of interesting. I kind of like this person's style, kind of like their take on this. Oh, I see. They're offering this this additional article about something that talks about writing in the voice of your publication. Okay, let me find out more about that. And or to get that, I have to opt in. Now they're a part of your community. So if we use our Facebook posts, our LinkedIn posts, our Twitter to promote our blog posts, and then if we create around the frame of the blog interesting opportunities for people to engage with us, then social media works like gangbusters in terms of actually getting us more prospects and clients.
Right, as long as the blog topic is sort of aligned with something that would attract your clients.
Absolutely.
You know, most people are blogging about just sort of whatever, random topics each day, and you know, that's a problem because clients look at that and, you know, what I'm always telling people is every blog that would like to hire you as a writer to do blogging for them is in a niche. All the topics are, you know, it's all in one vertical. And so if your blog isn't like that, when they look at your blog, they don't think you're for them. But if you do pick a topic, then they go, oh, aha, this person gets niche blogging. They could write blog posts for me on my niche.
Absolutely. And it goes back to the assignment of day one, figuring out what niche do you want to focus on. And, you know, the nice thing is, you know, these marketing campaigns take 5 days to set up. So we're not saying that you necessarily have to have all your writing clients come from that one niche. All we're saying is that your marketing needs to be focused on a particular niche. So you could set up a niche marketing campaign, you know, week one, and then you know, next week you could set up a parallel path marketing campaign to a different niche, and you can just keep going on and on and on. I mean, we've got, I don't know, 24 niches that we work in, you know, each of which has a very, yeah, I know we kind of go nuts with this stuff, but, you know, we're marketers, so go figure. I mean, nobody's going to want to do 24 like we do, but, you know, I do two or three.
Right.
You know, so it's not that you have to define your business in totality by the niche. You just got to focus your marketing on the niche, and that's an important difference.
Gotcha. Well, David has been patiently waiting, and I want to let him on to talk about his marketing philosophy. This has been terrific, some great tips on how to just kind of kick this into gear in short order. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing them, Mark. And where should people go if they want to check out your stuff further?
Well, of course, we'd love to have people buy the book, The 1 Week Marketing Plan, that, as they say, is available wherever books are sold, and probably that means Amazon. But also, go to my website, gentlerainmarketing.com. We have a lot of really great free information about growing your business, attracting the kinds of clients that you want, lots and lots of free stuff. Lots of, you know, videos, and who knows, you can even see the video with me and my cat, and that's always fun.
I might have to go look for that now. Thank you so much, Mark. This has been terrific.
Great. Thank you, Carol.
All right. We're going to take it over to David. If you joined us late, this is our weekly Freelance Writers Den meeting, and a special welcome to anyone who's a new member as of this morning. This edition is a marketing intensive, and we've been talking with Mark Satterfield, and now we are going to move on to David Newman of Do It Marketing. You there, David?
I am.
Awesome. David works with executives and entrepreneurs who want to position themselves as thought leaders and generate more leads, better prospects, and bigger sales. And he has worked inside organizations as the client, so he's sort of been on the other side of the desk. He's also worked as a speaker and consultant for Fortune 500 companies, and he has helped over 300 speakers, authors, consultants, and experts raise their game. So a lot of depth of experience there, and I'm excited to have you on, David.
Hey, Carol. Thank you. It's great to be here.
So in your book, you say that in marketing, you need to determine who, and then why, and then the what comes last. So explain that philosophy.
Sure. Well, and I think this answers so many questions because, you know, as a marketing consultant, as a marketing coach, people always ask me, hey, David, what's a great headline? What's a great subject line for this email? What are the great, you know, what are the bullets that I need to put in this marketing copy or on this web page or on this sales letter? And my answer is, I don't know. I don't know, because I don't know who you're talking to, I don't know why they're reading it, and I don't know what problems you're solving. So it is super, super, super important, because, you know, I think especially with freelance writers in their own business, and also when freelance writers are asked, you know, what's the voice, what's the tone, what are the right words, you have to stop, and you have to say, who are we talking to? Who are we writing for? Who are we trying to attract and entice and engage? Because until you really know that, and it goes way beyond, I'll get to kind of what the who questions are in a moment, but it goes way beyond all the standard psychographics, demographics, blah, blah, blah kind of information, you really need to know what makes these folks tick. Whoever you're writing for and whoever you're writing to, it is super, super important that you understand their pains, problems, heartaches, headaches, challenges, and gaps. And it's equally important to know on the positive side, what are their hopes? What are their dreams? What are their aspirations? What are their goals? What are their priorities? What are they trying to accomplish personally, professionally, organizationally, in their work life, in their home life, all of those things? And I forget which master copywriter, maybe it was Caples or one of these other folks, but this is so very true even to this very day. You have to enter the conversation that's already happening in the reader's mind. And for any kind of writing, and especially for marketing copy, when freelance writers are looking to market themselves and market their services and their value and their impact, it is super important to really understand that buyer. And I go through in the Do It Marketing book some ways to do that and the 7 buyer persona questions. But once you nail those, everything about the way that you market your products and services and programs becomes clear. So all those tactical questions that I get all the time, what do I say? How do I say it? What words should I use? You know, what's the right language? What's the best language? What's the best headline? Do you think my target market would like this sales letter or that sales letter? This first paragraph or that first paragraph? Once you know the who, everything else becomes crystal clear.
Yeah, I get that. A lot of people are always asking me, Carol, what is the one best, lowest cost, fastest way that I can market my freelance writing business? And I'm always like, well, that kind of depends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what kind of freelance writing you're trying to do here, what you've done already, do you have a portfolio, you're starting from scratch, you know, who are you trying to reach, what are their problems? Yeah, you need to run all that down. So one of your chapters says to avoid blah, blah, blah marketing, and I feel a desperate need to find out what that is so I can avoid it. So fill us in a little on that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so blah, blah, blah marketing, and hopefully none of our freelance writers create this for their clients, but it's, you know, the worst culprit is going to be, think of a bank. Think of a bank advertisement, either in your newspaper or glossy magazine, hometown, business journal, whatever it might be. I can tell you exactly what's in that bank advertisement. It sounds something like this. We've been around for 123 years. We, you know, quality is our difference. Our people are our greatest asset. You know, our success is your business, or our business is your success, or they're all interchangeable. But it's blah, blah, blah. It's every bank says that. Every credit union says that. Every insurance company says that. You know, I can't tell, are we trying to advertise a bank? Are we trying to advertise a photocopying machine? Are we trying to advertise skin cream? Because everything is solutions. And, you know, we're trustworthy, we're reliable, we're wonderful. Come on in for great, you know, great prices and you know, super selection, and the sale's on right now. I mean, it's just completely generic. So, again, you'll never be caught dead writing generic blah, blah, blah marketing copy about yourself or about your writing business or for a client if you have that buyer persona firmly and clearly in your mind. And, again, I'm going to scare our freelance writing friends, because I'm going to challenge you to really look at every piece of marketing material – your website, your sales letter, even your blog, your marketing letters, everything. I'm going to give you 3 tests right now that will immediately indicate whether or not you suffer from this blah, blah, blah marketing syndrome. The first one's called the black marker test. All you need is one of your web pages and then another freelance writer's web page. Take a big black Sharpie, black out any identifying information, any kind of logos, any kind of company name, any kind of personal name. Look at the 2 pieces of marketing copy, and if you can't tell whose is whose, you're looking at a piece of blah, blah, blah marketing, because that means that it's devoid of your voice and your personality and your expertise and your professional stance. So that's test number one. Test number two is the so what test. And the so what test is all these marketing claims and all these ways that we market and promote our own services, freelance services, writing services, and so forth. You have to ask yourself the question, so what? And, you know, you may have heard that before. Here's my instant solution to help you to do a much better job of this. Simply tack on the phrase, so that. So that. So, for example, you know, I've been doing freelance writing for 10 years. Well, so what? You know, does that mean that if I find someone who's been doing it for 12 years, I should hire them more than you? No. Well, what's the so what behind that claim of 10 years? I've been doing freelance writing in the banking and financial services industry for 10 years so that you know that I have proven strategies, track record, templates, tools, and scripts that will absolutely boost your results, right? That's a so that statement. So take every one of your claims, and if there's no embedded benefit or outcome or result or impact, add on a very specific so that statement, and then that's going to make it stand out as more credible, more specific, and more believable. And then the third test to make sure that you're not suffering from blah, blah, blah marketing is the prove it test. And the prove it test is that, you know, sadly, Seth Godin wrote this great book a few years ago called All Marketers Are Liars. And all of our prospects believe that all marketers are liars. So you have to prove your claims. That could be social proof with testimonials and endorsements and recommendations. That could be samples on your website. That could be testimonial audios and videos and success stories. It's about having the right names to drop and the right stories to tell to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're the real deal, you have the expertise, you have the knowledge, and you have the street cred to deliver the results that they're hiring you to deliver. So that's the prove it test. You nailed it.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, you guys. I think we lost David here. We'll wait a second, see if he can call back in. I just wanted to say, while he's doing that I once read an article, like an op-ed for the Business Journal called I've Got a Problem with Solutions, because I was so sick of getting press releases that all said, you know, we don't bake bread, we don't, you know, sell widgets, we offer solutions. It's like a word that's become completely meaningless. And yet people just keep on using it. You know, because they think it makes them sound like more than a thing. Okay, David says, be right back. I think he got so excited he accidentally disconnected his phone there. I was loving the energy and enthusiasm he has for helping us do our marketing better.
Hey, gang, I'm back. I have no idea what happened, but, man, I was on fire and the phone must have exploded.
I know. I think you fried a circuit.
What's the last thing you guys remember hearing?
Oh, I don't know. We were talking about
did we get to the
blah,
so
blah
what
marketing
test?
And yeah, you were getting to so what.
But we didn't finish so what.
I think we were about in the middle of it.
It was so good. It was so good. Okay, so the so what test is proving every one of your claims and then tacking on the phrase so that.
So that we got.
That you got. And then
the prove it test
is about social proof. Right, social proof, testimonials, recommendations, samples, all of that stuff. And then I stopped ranting, and then the phone blew up.
Right.
So we're good. You guys caught it all. Thank you.
Okay, so we got it. So in one chapter, you talk about creating 50 reasons people should buy from you. And I guess I felt like, I don't know, are there 50 reasons to buy from me?
Well, it's only five questions. It's 10 different answers to five key questions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not my idea, but I invited 14 of my smartest friends to contribute a guest chapter to the Do It Marketing book. So this actually comes from my friend Tom Stoyan, who's a sales coach up in Canada. And here are the five questions. Question number one is, why should I buy your product or service? Question number two is, why should I buy from you specifically? Question number three is, why should I buy from your company? Now, obviously, if you and your company as a freelance writer, if that's one and the same, then you only have four questions to answer. Because obviously buying from you and buying from your company is the same thing. Question four is, why should I buy at your price? And question five is, why should I buy now? So what's that sense of urgency and what's that sense of immediacy? Now, this is a great exercise. And the reason that you don't want to just put down one or two answers, you want to put down 10. The bar has been set to put down 10 answers to each of these questions. So imagine for a moment, why should I buy your freelance writing? 10 answers to that one, right? Why should I buy specifically from you? What's so special about you? What's so special about me, right? Why do people hire David Newman? Well, I'll give you 10 reasons, right? This doesn't apply so much to freelance writers, but if you had a company, right, why should I buy from your company? So there's a personal value prop, and there's a company value prop, 10 answers there again. Now imagine if you had 10 good reasons that people should buy at your price. Well, I could outsource this to India. I could get some guy on Fiverr. I could put this on Elance. Well, yeah, you could. Sure, you could. You know, and you can get marketing advice from a monkey. But you're not going to get marketing advice from a monkey because you're going to go to fabulous people like Carol or Mark Satterfield or me. You know, are there cheaper experts out there? You bet. But guess what? I have 10 answers to why you should buy my premium programs at my premium fee, and you should have 10 answers for you. And then finally, question five, why should I buy now? What's that sense of urgency? What's the cost of waiting? What's the cost of not doing anything? Because I'll tell you what, folks, most of our competition, in my world, most of my competition is not other marketing consultants or marketing coaches. In your world, my guess is not a lot of competition comes from other freelance writers. The competition is either do nothing, right? Do nothing, inertia, very powerful competitor, or do it ourselves. We're just going to do it ourselves. So imagine if you prepared a three-column document, even just for your own benefit, when you're talking to people on the phone or when you're answering prospect calls. Three columns are, column one, do nothing. Don't write anything. Don't hire anyone. Don't create this piece of content. Column two is do it yourself. Column three is work with me. And I can tell you very clearly and very succinctly, because I mapped it out, right, what are the pros and cons of doing nothing? What are the pros and cons of doing it yourself? And what are the pros and cons of working with me? Because guess what, my friends? If you write the quiz, if you get to write the test, you will always get an A. You will always get an A because you're doing it backwards, right? You have the answers, and now you're simply engineering the questions. So that's my little strategy in addition to Tom Stoyan's brilliant 50 Reasons People Should Buy From You.
That's just a terrific exercise to do and to be
yep.
ready with answers because sometimes you actually do get those questions.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, why should I pay this much? Oh, that sounds
yep.
expensive, blah, blah. You know, and, yeah, you want to flip that to the point where, you know, I'm happy to be at these days where sometimes I tell clients, yeah, I just totally don't have time for you. Like, I have no availability for 3 weeks. And in 3 weeks, they call me. Oh, I waited. Can we do it now? Because they don't want to do it with anyone else. They've become obsessed with the idea that I'm the writer they need to use.
Right.
And that's sort of where you want to get to, and I think you get there by having answers to those kind of questions.
Yeah.
About here's why this is going to be like the most awesome, pleasant experience. It'll get done instead of you just saying it's going to get done, and you know it ain't really. And you know, these are the kind of results I get, and this is the kind of experience I have, and plugging that in is going to save you so much time ramping somebody, and, you know, it all starts to work. Anyway, one of the things you say in your book that I really wanted to be sure to chat about is to live by your calendar, not your inbox. Explain what you mean by that.
Oh my gosh. Well, so I have a big sign in my office, and I recommend this to everybody, that says, email is not my job. Email is not my job. Now, obviously, we all get a small number of client emails or prospect emails or VIP, you know, very important emails. But we waste so much time sitting reactively in front of our inbox, that my advice is, and I put this in the Do It Marketing book, Carol, in that chapter that you're talking about live out of your calendar, not your inbox, don't have email as your default screen that's up on your monitor all day long. In fact, I would minimize or close email. I know it's shocking. I know some people are sweating bullets already. The primary screen that should be under your nose all day long is your calendar, because your calendar is your schedule, your priorities, your tasks, your jobs that you proactively want to get done. And if you honor the calendar, and then maybe you check email once or twice or three times a day, but you only check email when it pops up on your calendar. So 10:30 a.m., my calendar says check email. That's when I check email. And I have about a 45-minute block there. And then maybe at 2:30, I have another block on my calendar that says check email. But in between that, I'm not putting out fires. I'm not playing email ping pong. I'm not replying and responding to other people's priorities and agenda, because my main job, email is not my main job. I'll tell you what my main job is and what your main job is also. I call this MMA. MMA is not mixed martial arts like you see on a lot of people's bumper stickers. It is money-making activity. Money-making activity. I have another sign that's right under email is not your job. It says MMA. And when I look up from my computer and I go, oh, drat, you know, am I doing MMA? Is this something that is paid client work, will get me paid client work, or something that will directly or indirectly lead me to paid client work? If not, I'm wasting my time. If not, I need to get back in my calendar and make sure I'm working on what matters most and what's important right now at this moment. For me as a freelance business owner, and for me as the chief revenue officer of my company, even though my company, just like a lot of folks, is a company of one, but I have that MMA responsibility. If I'm just answering emails, or I'm goofing off on Facebook, or I'm playing with Pinterest or whatever, that is not MMA. That's break time. That's fun time. You can calendarize that. But the calendar needs to be your first and primary and main screen, your default screen, not your email inbox, because by definition, your calendar, the way you set it up, is proactive and your email inbox is reactive.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to go over this partly because I have blogged at length about my own serious email addiction issues.
Oh, me too.
Had in the past, I was terrible. I was really the worst, like just checking that thing every 5 minutes instead of doing anything productive. And what finally cured me was just really taking a look at what's in email these days. You know, the thing is, I think those of us who date back to the early days of email, email was so exciting and like useful, really good things were in there, and nowadays it's like 90% junk.
Oh, you know?
And or just not time critical, and you know, I just think we sort of have to get out of the habit of thinking of email as important. Oh, I got an email. It must be something important. No, it's garbage.
Right.
You know, it's 99% of the time. And the thing is, if you're checking email every 5 minutes and, you know, ooh, you get a prospect nibble and you reply to them 5 minutes after they sent you an email, you just look totally desperate. That's all you accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas if you get back to them, you know, 6 hours after they sent it, they get the sense that, hey, you're a busy person, you know.
Well, and you're we totally train. We train our prospects and we train our clients how and when they can email us based on how and when we respond. So you're exactly right.
Yeah, you want to set that tone like right from the beginning. I actually have a rule now that if I happen to be doodling around and I'm on email at like 9 o'clock at night or something and I see any kind of prospecting, I am never, ever going to reply to that until tomorrow morning because I don't want them to think
we're going to – Good for you. Wow, that's a great strategy.
I don't want them thinking we're going to be communicating 9, 10 o'clock at night because I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
But I totally want to be sure they know – that is not when we'll be interacting. So, yeah, you have to watch out, too, about being on it.
professional boundaries are really important.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to, I want people to say in the chat how many days they have gone where it's like 4 p.m. when they're looking at their calendar for the first time and then going, oh, my God, I was supposed to do this and that and this and that.
Can I start, can I start with this open confession? Because I have totally been there. And
I'm guilty
every
as well.
Day it's a challenge to live this principle. So it's, believe me, folks, it's not easy. It's not, oh, yeah, no, I'm suddenly magically Mr. Productivity. I fight this battle every day to stay anchored in the calendar and to avoid the siren call of the inbox.
Yeah, or you can use these like tools like Boomerang or these ones that wrap it all into one digest or something. You know, there's a lot of ways to manage it. I actually am on another unsubscribing binge right now where I'm just unsubscribing like dozens and dozens and dozens of things, and we should all do that periodically. Look at what all you're signed up for, and you know, when's the last time you opened anything from that person? Yeah, get rid of it. You know, stop, because when we see all those emails, you know, when you see 75 emails, you think, oh my God, look at all that, I so much to do, you know. And if 25 of them, you know, if like a third of all of them are really just, you don't need to get them anymore, it's amazing how it like relieves your brain when the next day you come on and there's only 45 emails.
Right.
Instead of 75, it's amazing how that frees up your productivity. Whoa, I see I'm shooting out my time. I wanted to get to one question that we had gotten in the den, which is that someone was saying that she's done a case study class and she's kind of a new writer, but she wants to get into that case study niche. Sort of what's the best way for someone without a lot of portfolio to start contacting those, you know, B2B marketing manager types and, you know, making that happen?
Well, so here's a revolutionary idea, and you know, we may have to do another chat about this, but I think every freelance writer needs to also be, in addition to the freelance writing work, which is the project work, they need to have an expert business. And the expert business on top of the freelance writing business is as an author and as a thought leader yourself on the application and the format and the context of the kind of freelance writing that you do. So, for example, the case study, you know, what this person should do is a case study case study. And interview 10 of your most desired prospects, the big companies, the corporate communications folks, the marketing folks, whoever it is that's in charge of case studies at your prospect companies, not to pitch them anything, but to ask them, how have you leveraged case study marketing? What are your success stories? What has worked? What's missing? Is this still relevant? How are your sales reps using it? How's your marketing team using it? So go in as that expert, go in as that author and as that researcher and as that journalist who's the expert in that type of writing, and interview your prospects, because you'll be doing two things instantly. Number one is you're doing pre-marketing and you're doing relationship building with that particular prospect at that particular company that you want to do business with. And number two, you are gathering a huge treasure trove of live ammo, active, current market intelligence of what's hot, what's not, what they're wrestling with, what's working, what they'd love to work better, what they're seeking, what they're planning, what their next 12 months of strategic priorities are around the marketing function or the sales function or the ultimate end result of the case studies that you'd like to sell them. Become the author, become the thought leader of that type of writing.
You know, I'm so thrilled that we asked that question. Because, you know, I've given that advice myself. People say, white papers, they pay so well, but how can I ever get in? And I'm like, do a white paper about your business. Find a topic and do a white paper. Do one for a prospect pro bono. You know, start showing people you can do them. And, you know, and then worry about, oh, am I going to send a letter of introduction or maybe go to a conference where I could meet this person at sort of what technical form your marketing outreach might take. Or maybe you're going to do what Mark Satterfield was talking about, make that thing a freebie on your blog, and then you're promoting that in social media and driving prospects to it, you know, in an inbound way. But first, yeah, create the sample that's going to make the sale. for them.
Well, and I also think the interviewing strategy is so critical because that's hands-on prospecting without prospecting. That's hands-on client relationship building without selling anything.
Yeah. No, I absolutely love it. Well, this has been terrific, David. Love the energy, even if it did fry our system once. And where should people go to learn more about your book and about what you do?
Well, lots of free resources at the doitmarketing.com. There's a blog, there's a podcast, there's audios, videos, downloads, all kinds of crazy, wonderful stuff. And then resources that are directly connected to the Do It Marketing book are also at doitmarketing.com/book.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on, David. This has been terrific. And for those of you who are wondering what's coming up next week in the Den, we're actually going to tackle that hard-selling technique of cold calling. And our guests are going to be Diane Schneidman, author of Real Skills, Real Income, and Art Sobczak, I hope I'm saying that right, author of Smart Calling, Eliminate the Fear, Failure, and Rejection from Cold Calling. And our other Den mother, Linda Formicelli, is going to host that. And I'm glad we're putting that on because, you know, sometimes just picking up the phone, you know, it's a way to make things happen quickly. I know a lot of people who started their business that way. So I'm glad to we haven't done a training on cold calling in a real long time. So I'm happy to put that on. And
let me give you a plug. Let me give you a pre-plug for Art Sobczak. He is fantastic, and I love his book, and I love his wisdom. He's a fantastic guy, and you guys would be lucky to learn from him.
Oh, awesome. Well, glad to get a recommendation on him.
Yeah.
And the other thing we do, if you're new to the Den, is we pick this up in the forums afterwards. So if you have more questions as you listen to this, feel free to go back to our Questions for Den Meetings forum. And this sales and marketing intensive one says questions about sales and marketing. So feel free to leave us more questions there, and I can alert the experts and have them come and weigh in on the forums. Thanks coming on, everybody, and for people who gave us some good questions. And thanks to David, and we will see you all in the Den.